Badass.
Welcome to The Radiant Badass. If you like your suburban mom with a side of punk and your spirituality laced with pop culture references, friend, you are home. I'm your host, Elizabeth Holmes. I'm so glad you're here. Let's have some fun. So, Disneyland. What is there to be said about Disneyland that hasn't already been said? Probably not much, but I'm still going to say a few things from my perspective. As I mentioned in the last episode, I recently returned from running through a three-day park hopper pass in Disneyland and Disneyland's California Adventure, or just California Adventure. I don't know why we preface that with Disneyland, but anyway, so as I mentioned, our youngest requested this trip for their senior trip. So off we trooped along with one of their good friends to celebrate their accomplishment and to have some fun. As I mentioned, not my favorite time of year to visit the park, but it is what it is. At the conclusion of our visit, I said the thing that I always say after every visit, and that is that Disneyland exacts a price beyond the monetary tribute you're required to submit to visit. That price is mental, it's physical, it's emotional. It's all the things. It's not a simple visit to a carnival. That's what I'm going to say. You know, over the years, since we've had the kids, we've been several times. Like, we're not annual visitors by any stretch. We're not pass holders, but we're pretty familiar with the park. And we have developed what I might call a style for our visits. And our family style for Disneyland is, and this is what my kids say, we go hard. We are a rope drop to fireworks family. And we aren't standing around watching the fireworks at night either. We're going on all the rides that we can fit in while others watch the fireworks or the parade. It's all about rides with our family. Oh, and churros. Rides and churros. It is not the character interactions. All four of us are very unnerved at best by the characters wandering around the park. I don't know if that's genetic, but we want no part of that. Distance, sure. I actually felt like a blessing of COVID was that during that time, they were giving the characters a bunch of personal space, like no hugging. They were kind of like behind a rope. So there was no chance that they were going to get too close to you. That was good. But I can see from my last visit to this visit that that protocol has been removed. And I'm just going to say shrug on that. Like, I think that was a good thing. Well, so what do I want to say about Disneyland without being too offensive to the Disney lovers out there? I want to say I'm conflicted. I'm conflicted about Disneyland. On the one hand, I absolutely delight in the childlike wonder you can feel while you are there. I am a huge fan of the roller coasters. The wilder, the better. I'm always finding new details in the park that just impress the hell out of me. The thoughtfulness that went into the design of most of the park is amazing to me. It's beautifully laid out. The detail is incredible. It's magic. Like, I love all that stuff. I especially love it in the morning when all the little kids are fresh and you can watch them interacting with characters or they're going on rides or whatever. And they are so freaking excited and overwhelmed by the magic. Like, that's the best stuff. Like, we were on the Ariel ride in California Adventure and there were two little girls in the little clamshell thing you ride in next to us with their parents. And they were just like jacked up when they saw Ariel. When they came around the corner and she's like getting married and her little animatronic robot is like waving. The girls were waving back. They were cheering. Like, I love that stuff. And I also love the churros, as I mentioned. Can never get enough churros. And the Dole Whip. And there are always moments during my visits where I'm wrapped in this like cloak of nostalgia that feels so comfy, so warm. It's just a real happy place. We've made some really marvelous family memories there, you know? So that's what I love. Like, that's what keeps bringing me back. What don't I love so much? Like, buckle up. Make sure your safety bar is down, right? Pull up on the yellow tag. Here's what I don't like. I don't like the crowds. I don't like the lines. I don't like the absolute lack of consideration from your fellow theme park attendees. You know I find most people to be assholes, but that is really on display in Disneyland. I don't enjoy it as the day goes on and people get tired, they get hot, they get hungry, they get overstimulated, and it just gets real messy. I have witnessed some crazy interactions between parents and kids, between couples, between like grandparents and parents. Like I have just seen shit that I would rather just not know had ever happened. You know, like when parents scream at four-year-olds for having a bad attitude after they've spent so much money on the day and how the kids should be grateful. And I'm over there eating my churro. Like, sir, that's a four-year-old. Like, it just doesn't work like that. Have a lemonade, chill out, breathe. I also believe that the crowds could be managed better and Disney could still make a buck. Standing in line for 60 minutes to go on a ride because you didn't game the Genie Plus app to skip the line does not make me want to go back and spend my money there. It is frustrating. Like, I'm not saying I just have to walk on every ride, but when all the good rides are like a 60 to 90 minute wait, like, that's insane. Like, just do the math. You can't go on that many rides. And again, I want to return to the general thought I have is that people are assholes. I mean, I know it's a pretty broad generalization, but I always come home from a trip to Disneyland knowing a little deeper that people are assholes. And I worry for the future of society. And I have all those kind of dark thoughts. Because if you are like legit in the happiest place on earth, and you're choosing to spend your time yelling at the staff because you didn't understand where the line started or because they're sold out of the mouse ears that you want, you need to seriously, seriously, seriously check yourself, friend. And those are not hypothetical situations. I saw that happen. I'm also troubled by the display of conspicuous consumption. If you want to live your life as a Disney adult, fine. Whatever. You do you, boo. And still, I am always shocked at the level of purchasing that occurs in the parks. Honestly, I should be thrilled by it. I do own Disney stock, but it makes me uncomfortable. It's like so much stuff. Speaking of Disney adults, I want to mention here that I have been surprised at the rise of the matching trip shirt phenomenon. You do you, boo. I'm not judging. I'm judging a little bit. I have to say some of the information imparted on those shirts is beyond someone's birthday status. And I don't know, it's like weird. The bachelorette party ones are really weird. I don't even know why you're doing a bachelorette party in Disneyland, but okay, maybe you find it girls trippy. I don't know. So all of that is kind of where I'm at with Disneyland. Since the time the kids were old enough to go on all the rides, every visit, before we get there, I give this little speech about how this trip, we're going to have a balanced trip. We'll do a little morning in the park, like a real sit-down lunch, not just grab a corn dog on the fly. Then we'll go back to the hotel, do a little pool time, rest a little bit, and then, you know, go back to the park in the evening for dinner and going on all the rides while people are watching the fireworks. Do I ever follow through on that plan? No. Like, I don't know if Disney pumps something into the air or what, but as soon as I step on property, I get weirdly competitive. Like, I have to squeeze every last ride and every last experience out of every moment, and I end up doing things like lining out my trip strategy to maximize my experience. And then I just get kind of frenzied, and I'm like, oh, we can fit in one more ride. Like, long after I should have headed back to the hotel. It's weird. It's a weird thing I do. I can't explain it. There's also a moment every trip where I find myself sitting on a bench in the shade somewhere. Usually at this point, I'm overtired, I'm hungry, probably mildly dehydrated and suffering from low blood sugar, and also probably overheated. And at these moments, I look around and I like take it all in. And I think all of this Disney lore brand has been built from what amounts to a glammed up carnival. Like, these are carnival rides. They're very fancy. They're very detailed. They go along with the movies, but it's a carnival. I mean, a few cartoons and a carnival, and you end up with this dominating international powerhouse brand. That is fucking wild to me. Well, I just like sit there and I contemplate it for a while. It gets a little dark in my head then. And then I will drink some water. I will eat a churro and I will head back out and hit a few more rides before closing time. And I will know as I'm sitting there thinking about how crazy this experience is. I know that at some point I'll end up doing all of it again. Thanks for listening. I'd love it if you'd subscribe to the podcast and leave me a solid review. If you want to take this to the next level, you can sign up for my newsletter at radiantbadass.com. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at radiantbadass. You know I'd love to hear from you. And as always, thank you to my producer and coach, Chris Martin. Hit him up at curiosity.builders or Chris Martin Studios for your chance to work with him. This has been the Radiant Badass. I'm Elizabeth Holmes. See you next time.